Simon Kof Yud Gimel. Dine Bishulei of the Kohanim. So, before we start reading, there's a famous Dion in the Poskim as to why Chazal Asher Bishul Akum. Pasakum, it says in the Furish in the Gemara that it's Bisham Chaspas. But it doesn't say explicitly in the Gemara why they Asher Bishul Akum. Doesn't say Mefurish. So says Rashi on Daf Lamed Him Beis on the Mishnah of Shlokos. Says Rashi, let me find the Rashi for you. Vashlokos called Rashi Bishlo Oba Kochavim, Afil Kli Tohar, Vekulam Shom Chasmas. Rashi says the Isser Bishal Akam, what's called Shlokos in the Lashon of the Mishnah, is Mishom Chasmas. And that is the mainstream majority opinion. However, interestingly, Rashi in the Gemara, on the Flama Chesim and Aleph, when the Gemara gets to Bishul Akam, Rashi says, Midrabanan, they have a midrash of the Torah, they decide to Rabbanan. Rashi says, Shalo Yisrael Ragil Esel Lachal Mishnah, so the Jew should be used to eating and drinking by the guy, the Yachilet of Dover Tameh, and then the guy will feed him treif. So here it's a bit of a steep Rashi, but the reason is to avoid intermarriage, or the reason is to avoid getting used to eating with the guy, and you end up eating treif. It's very strange. Tosos just rejects Rashi and says that the reason is Tosos just rejects Rashi and says that the reason is because of intermarriage, and that is the mainstream approach. If you look in the Pesach Tshuva here in Sittat Aleph, he quotes the first Lamosha, the same first Lamosha that he quoted in the first Pesach Tshuva in Kuf Yud Beis, who wonders, what about Bishul of a non-form Jew? So he says, well, the reason is Bishul of intermarriage, and the noise of intermarriage of the child of a non-form Jew. So therefore, it should be mutter, which is exactly so far with the first Moshe said in Kuf Yud Beis. Then he adds something. Ela sheyo otam of war bizos, shema yachilenu dvar masurim. Ulefize gam bishul shal mumar asur daha, vikikof l'chol shor kulam, shema yachilenu dvar masurim. Right, says the first Moshe that according to the reason of chaspos, it doesn't apply to a non-from Jew. But according to the reason of you might get used to eating together and eat treif. So what's the difference between a non-from Jew and a guy? They both eat treif, right? If you eat by them, you'll end up eating treif equally by both. And therefore, maybe Bishul Akum should be more chomer than Pasakum because of this Rashi and apply to a non-from Jew. This is a big machlokas, this Shitas Yachid, which most people are not choshes for the first Moshe, that we're machra, like the reason of eating treif, therefore it applies to a non-from Jew. However, that is not the mainstream accepted halacha. Rav Ovadia in the Avia Omer Chelik Hey Simon Yud agrees with the first Moshe's analysis. Just says, but we don't paskin like that day, because everyone paskins against that reason. So if you ask, what is the says Rashi Lamed Hey Amud Beis and the other Rishonim Kaskas. Says Rashi of Nachlam and Chesam and Aleph Shema Yachilenu Devarim. And therefore, what's the nafkamina? Perhaps the nafkamina is bishul of a mummer, right? It would be mutter of kastos, but it would be usher if it's going to shash being treif. The teferis lemoshe leans towards being mafkamir in the pesach tshuva. However, Rav Ovadia in the Avia Hey, Simon Yod says it's mutter because we paskin like the Dea of Chasnos. Okay, and most of us that is how we assume. Interestingly, there are those who wanted a taina that there's not a steer between Rashi. After all, it's a little funny making a focus two reasons between Rashi and Rashi, and it's not like Rashi totally replaced. One is Rashi on the Mishnah, the other is Rashi on the Gemara. As pretty much as soon as the Gemara starts to analyze that Mishnah. It's it's a little funny no matter how you look at it. Is there a way to be miyashiv these two Rashis? So I know two ways to miyashiv these two Rashis. Maybe you could say that there's no stira, combine both Rashis. One is the Rav. The Rav has a famous word that the Gemara says called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Tikkun, which, you know, on the simple level just means that Rabbanan made a takana, and they gave it the same level of chumrah, the details as a Daraisa. But the way the Rav understands that whenever the Rabbanan made a takana, it has to fit into the conceptual structure of the Daraisa. The Rav even held that about Menhagim, hence his kulas about shaving during Sirsa Omer, which is Ein Kamach Maharif. But Rabbi Ganat quoted from the Rav like this. He said, really, there's a difference between the reason the Chazal made a takana and the way in which they made the takana. The reason they made the takana is because of some social goal. The way in which they made the takana has to fit into the conceptual structure of halacha. I meant this is a big chiddush, meaning I'll make it sound good. It's a very big chiddush, there's a lot of kashas on it. He says, what's the reason they assert is because of chasmas, because they're afraid of intermarriage. But that's not, doesn't fit into the conceptual structure of the Daraisa. In the Torah, foods can't be ushered because they have marriages within them. Foods only have food within them. So therefore, what's the, what they call the Ophi, what's the nature of how they're mitaking? The nature of how they're mitaking is they were gozer that it's a chash of macholos asuros. Ki'ilu we're choshes for macholos asuros. Really, we're not really choshes for intermarriage. But since you can't usher food because of intermarriage, instead they ushered it because they declared that, after all, it was cooked by a guy, it's a chas makol shasuros. That's a big kiddush for the next row. He says that the tam hatakana is because of chasnos, but the ofi chalos hatakana is gazru dechoshishin letarobes devarim temeim. Okay, which is something that fits the conceptual structure of the Darais Halacha, that something could have a chashash of being a tree food. The Tzitz Eliezer says something a little less fancy. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, where is this Tzitz Eliezer? It is in Chilek Tes, Simen Mem Aleph. He says, really the problem is, neither of these reasons was strong enough. Chasnas was not such a strong reason, because you're not so likely to intermarry just because you eat a cooked food. And the fact you might get used to eating with mini treif is not such a strong reason, because you'll check to make sure that it's not treif. You'll be mashgiach when he's cooking. So says Eliezer, neither of these reasons is good enough. Only when you have two chashos together is that strong enough to make an iser. So what did he say? He says, both chashos are weak, and they were only goes there when, well, let's say it's like this. Each shash is weak. They were only goes there when you have both shashos together. Because after all, two weak problems adds up to a strong suspicion, right? If something has two potential bad things that can happen, each of them is sort of unlikely, but there are two bad things that could lead to, even if each one is unlikely, Chazal were gozer on it. But if there would only be a chash chasnas, Chazal wouldn't be gozer. There would only be a chash of dvarim temeim, Chazal wouldn't be gozer. There are only gozer when you have both chashos together. And that's how he explains the halacha that we'll read in Sif Aleph, that based on the way we paskin, and there's a time of Chesam and Bay of an Aleph who says we don't paskin the cool like 2 days in the Gemara. We paskin just like the second day in the Gemara, which is the normal Aleph that we pass like the Ikedah in the Gemara. What are the two main conditions for Rishal Akum? They were only goes there if what? If it's not Nech Moshe Chai, it's not Edel Ra, and Olal Shochem Lachem. Why do they make these two conditions? Says that Tzitz Eliezer is a very clever word. He says, therefore, if it's Eino Ola Al Shulchan Melachim, there's no Chashash Chasnos, Torah Tvei, and by Tvei, I don't mean ritual Tum of the Torah, Treif. V'lochein lo gazru. It's funny, whenever you have like two exceptions, why are there two exceptions? Maybe because there's two aspects. If it's ain ol chashuv milachim, it's not a fancy food, it's a poor food. It's not really to intermarriage to eat a poor food, only to eat a fancy food, to eat a food that's a real social event. And therefore, even though could be a chash and treif, they weren't gozer. And what if it's nechal kemoshu chai? What if it's nechal? Well, I think you're supposed to say kemoshu chai. He says kemo. Okay, either way, kemoshu chai. Then ein chashash of tvar tmei. Anything edible raw is his understanding. There's a chiddush that what makes the difference to make it edible raw. The difference that makes it edible raw is that you don't have to worry it'll be treif foods in there because it's not really such a big change. It's something you couldn't eat raw. He just cooks it a little. It's not like something that needs a lot of ingredients. Ein chashash in general, things are edible raw in general, not tvar tmei. Anyway, ein chashash tvar tmei. Afal pi, sheshayach, shash chasnos, lachain, lo gazru. Okay, that's the very clever part of the Tzitz Eliezer. He says that what does Rashi mean? They were only gozer when you have two problems at the same time, because each one is very weak. And they were only bothered to be gozer. They didn't want to be a triach hasumash if both problems existed. Therefore, if it's edible raw, you don't have to worry about treif ingredients, even though it could lead to chasnos. So they weren't gozer. If it's not fancy, you don't worry about chasnas, even though it could have treif ingredients, they weren't gozer. Of course, his upshot is that he's a little barishu. If it's a non-form Jew, even though there could be chash of for its maids, it's no chash of chasnas, they weren't gozer. V'hu ha-din, Bishol, Yisrael Mumar, and that's why he agrees that Ravadya Balav Gintame. Ravadya says it's Hakamachlokas, but we pass like the opposite way of the first emotion. He wants to be Macher for that group opinion, and we pass like the normal opinion, the major opinion. He says, no, we pass like both opinions, but not that either one is enough to make zero, only both of them together make you zero. Okay, that's what the Sicily Ezra says. Lamaisa, our minig is that we're not Mach, but a Bishalakum of a non from Jew. One or two other things before we actually tackle this. There's a havni in the Gemara. They want the darsha from the psukim. The havni in the Gemara. They want darsha from the psukim. Ochel b'kesef tashmini v'yachalti u'mayim b'kesef titin li b'shasisi. You can only eat food of the goyim that's like water. Just like water is not changed. Doesn't change its form when you cook it, right? Meaning hot water just looks like water, just hot. Likewise, you can only eat things that don't change when you cook them. If they change when you cook them, you can't eat them. Then we reject it. We say it's a zero drabana. The question is, when we reject the limit from the pasuk, do we also reject the halacha that we thought we learned from the pasuk or not? Meaning halacha lemaisa is the big halacha of Yishonim. Is there a tnai of nishtanim yivyasa al yideha or? Is it only us or if it changed al yideha or not? The shach deals with this in Sukkot Aleph. The lohis the machabshi nishtanim yivyasa al yideha or. Alma is really the filonishtana usher. Kedasa Ramshik Bez Yosef King Das Rab Daki Moshe Torah Katas Zendai to Bagosif Bez etc. etc. But the Shach thinks near Ikabashaska Ram Varashi that so how about this? What about Lo Mishtana Mibriyaso Al Yaday Ha'or says the Ram Rashi and the Shach? Logosri. Meaning, even though we don't judge it as the pasuk, we keep what we thought at that time. However, says the Rambam and the Machaber and the Ramah, that the Xera is Shayach, the Tiru Rak, the Fiha Havamina Big Mara. According to the Havi, they judge from the pasuk, they want it at this Heter. Well, the Maskana is no Heter, and the Shach disagrees, says even Maskana is a Heter. Right? That's the old question. When they assume something in the course of a Shach, we target the Havamina, then we move on from the Havamina. Do we still keep other things we assume meanwhile, or do we reject everything we assume? Halacha l'maaseh, all the Achronim agree with the Machaber, the Ramah, not the Shach. And we pass in that even if it's lone shani yosol or meaning it looks, it has the same form. If it would be inedible raw and go on a king's table, it would still be usher. So let's take an example. I mean, it's going to be actually hard to find an example. I don't have an example off the top of my head. I don't have a good example off the top of my head. But
water.
No, water is edible raw, right? Okay, let's imagine if corn on the if corn on the cob went on the king's table and was not edible raw, but it still looks the same, just cooked, then we would say it's usur, even though it still looks the same. Okay, but it's going to be hard to find an example, I admit, so it's not such an afkamina. What is more of an afkamina? Tosos in Daflam Chesem and Aleph quotes the strange shita from someone who we don't know what his name is. Tosos quotes from Amar of Avram Barab David. And already I have this fancy Gemara, which has a little note on the side that he quotes to Yeshua, who gives all kinds of suggestions at who it is, because doesn't seem to be the Ravid. Meaning, we know who Avraham Barab David is, right? The Ravid, who wrote the Sagas and the Rambam, but this is not attested to by other places where the Ravid would have said this, and Tosos doesn't even quote the Ravid ever. So we're not sure who this Avraham Ben Ravid is. I'm going to say she's Barab David, should be just Avraham from something else, or Ephraim Ben David. Unclear. We're not sure. But there is the sheet of Avraham in the Rambam who says that in a Jewish house, it's mutter. The guy cooks in a Jewish house, it's mutter. Omer, a Ravram Barab David, Devadai, Shlokz, Ashokam, Shaobicham, Vashal, Veveso, Avotum, Vashal, Veveso, Shal Yisrael, Ein Lachlish. Why? If the problem is Kasas, what's wrong with Kasas? The guy is working in your house, you're not making intermarrying sea cooks. You intermarried, you go to the guy's house. Not if the guy works as a cook. And likewise says Ravram. He says, and if the shasha that he'll like feed you trade food, that's in his house where there's trade food in the fridge. In your house, there is no trade food around. How can we feed you trade food? Says Ben Avraham that in Beis Yisrael, it's mutter. That is a tremendous kula. What does the Shulchan Aruch say about this? Let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Kofi Gimel Al, Darshin and Afrik Bosh Shukai, Vikam Olo Shulchan Malachim, Lafis Bosh Apostle of our Paris, Shabishla Ob Kacham, Afil, the Kli Yisrael, even a Jewish Kli, so it's not trade food in the Kli. But Beis Yisrael, even a Jewish house, also, Mishum Mishulei Akum. Also, he's a Mishul Akum. Why does he add Uber Beis Yisrael to show that we don't pass on like that? Rabbeinu Ephraim. So we reject Rabbeinu Ephraim. We say even in Beis Yisrael, even in a Jewish house, there's still a problem with Mishul Akum, which is why there's a problem with Mishul Akum. Nowadays, some people have housekeepers in their house, so it's a problem with Mishul Akum if the housekeeper cooks, because we don't pass in like this Rabbeinu Avraham. You know, whoever he is, Rainer Brother of David, or whatever his name actually was. Okay, so what are the two main rules for Bishul Akum? The two main rules for Bishul Akum are it's only usur if it's inedible raw and olal shochem alachum. You only need one of these factors to make it mutter, right? It's mutter if it's edible raw. Anything edible raw is mutter. For example, anything made of carrots, which are edible raw, or corn, which is edible raw, or water, which is edible raw, or tomatoes, which are edible raw, fish are generally not edible raw. When I was a kid, no fish were edible raw. Nowadays, we have sushi. But
sushi. Pizza restaurant.
What?
It's in every pizza restaurant.
In every pizza restaurant, we have sushi. But if I understand correctly, only a very, very, very specific grade of fish is edible raw in sushi. Stam fish is not edible raw. So therefore, that wouldn't help. And you can't say nowadays there's no Bishul Akum in fish, because all fish is edible raw. It's not true. Only a very specific minority of fish is edible raw. And it's unlikely that's what they're cooking for you. Right? It has to be sushi-grade fish. Stam fish is not edible raw. And therefore, I don't think that's a headline. I think fish is still a problem. It's basically any fish or meat or chicken is generally not edible raw. Anything comes from a live animal is generally not edible, except for milk, right? Milk products are edible raw, right? Oh, the guy pasteurized the milk? No problem. You can drink the milk raw. Many fruits and vegetables are edible raw. Most fruits are edible raw. Some vegetables are edible raw. Depends which vegetables. But a lot of vegetables are edible raw, meaning things made from tomatoes, from corn. Corn is generally edible raw. Nowadays, they grow sweet corn. Most corn they grow is pretty sweet. It's edible. Most corn they make food out of is edible raw. You know, sometimes it's delicious. Sometimes it's okay. You never ate raw corn? You never like went corn? You never raw corn picking and just ate it in the field?
Never tried it.
Okay, you missed out.
Cheer trip.
No, nowadays it's straight because of bugs. You had to do it before they found the bugs. So I did like, you know, 30 years ago, so I was good. But anyway, okay, so a lot of things are mutter because they are just to give you a few examples of things that are mutter because they are edible raw. I mean, most of them are sort of obvious. Borscht, which is made of beets, which is edible raw. Butter is cooked, but it's made of milk, which is edible raw. And most of these are pretty obvious. There's not, you know.
They make something which
has not it's all cheese. A lot of cheese is cooked. It doesn't matter. It's made out of cooked, which is edible raw. Coconut milk, etc., made out of coconuts, which are edible raw.
Like I said, the only real hashash with all of these things is other ingredients, right?
Ah, we'll get them. Correct. Anyway, okay. So a lot of things are edible raw. I don't have any like amazing chidushim as to what's it. Macaroons, for example. What are macaroons made of?
Coconuts. Sugar.
They are. I think they're made of coconuts or almonds, both of which are edible raw, and a lot of sugar. Sugar is also edible raw. Meaning, wherever they get sugar from, you know, used to be sugar cane. Nowadays, beets are edible raw. Meaning, sugar beets are edible raw, for sure. Okay. So a lot of things that we can think of are edible raw, you know, cream of broccoli soup. It's edible raw, so it's not a problem. Bishol akum. The OU is made also on zucchini, even though we don't usually eat zucchini raw, but zucchini is really fine to eat raw, so it is not a problem. Fine. When it comes to being edible raw, there's a few issues that come up in defining edible raw. So let's see some of the issues. First issue is bet. What if something is made of a combination of ingredients? What if you combine a lot of ingredients and then you cook it? And some ingredients are edible raw and some of the ingredients are not edible raw. Okay, that's a good question. If you mix two things and cook them, then you go by the roof. Then you go by the roof. So even though a lot of things might have some ingredients that are not edible raw, you know, let's say ketchup. I'm sure ketchup has some ingredients that are not edible raw, but since they mix together many ingredients and the majority is edible raw, the ikr is edible raw, then it's okay. I'm sure there's true a lot of things. You know, you buy coconut milk. I'm sure it has some chemicals there or whatever that are not edible raw. You know, maybe things are not edible raw, but since the ikr is coconuts, so... The ikr. Interestingly, the ikr. For example, the Gemara says the nafkamina is l'chumra. They used to have this dish that was made with the flour and a kind of fish product that was edible raw. And so, what do you think? Should it have an isser bishul akum or not? What's the ikr? What's the ikr, Noah? Why is the flour the ikr? No, because what's the rule? The rule is anything that has flowers, we're going to zone the flowers because they're the ikker. So basically, go by Hilchos Brachos here. Okay, so that's why it's not the rule, it's the ikker. Go by the ikker. You can eat the roasted peas. I don't know if they were our kind of peas, but some legume like peas are the goyim. Kidney, kidney, sugar, arbison, like the kidney, that I assume arbison means chickpeas, like it does for us. You can eat these because they don't go in Shulchan Malachim. Remember, we had this similar thing in your base, right? The minig is that you can eat the roasted kidneys, even though they're not edible raw. You can't eat raw chickpeas. You ever see a raw chickpea? It's hard as a rock. But they're not olos of malachim. So therefore, you can eat them, except for places where they smear fat when they roast them, in which case the chasha of tree fat. Don't worry, they roasted them in their trees. Kelim, the staman in the yomun, because stam is not being yomun, so it's okay. Anything edible raw, even though the guy cooked it and turned it into an entirely new dish, right? Even if he made it a totally new dish, sure, it's still mutter. Like, not only when it's edible run, it looks the same thing. Even if he made something totally different out of it, right? For example, let's say he took corn and tomatoes and made ketchup, right? Which, I was saying around, the first ingredient is high fructose corn syrup, and the second ingredient is tomatoes. But it doesn't look anything like a corn or a tomato. Nonetheless, it's mutter because it was edible roll. Kin Oakland ha hubitle to also become some sort of jam or something that the guy would make, even though it doesn't look like the fruit anymore. That's still called something that is edible raw. Just to give another example, by the way, of Tarobis, the Gilgamesh Marshal here, quote, she is cafe in the coffee houser. Can you drink in a cafe in the Chewisberry basic? He points out that that was before they started putting cream in the coffee, which is more halakhic sensitive. But says, Afmin a Kedoshim water, even if you have the minig of Kedoshim, it's still water. Right, etc. And he gives like four reasons. If you look at where he said why it's not mishalakim, one of his reasons that all the postmen quote is because what's the ikker in coffee? In Hilchos Brachos. What's the ikker in coffee? The coffee beans or the what brach do you say in coffee?
Chapel.
Right? You don't say hadiths, even though coffee grows on a tree. in general, in halacha, I'm not coffee today. or hashtafel for that matter. But anyway, so because the ikra is the water is edible raw, therefore you can drink coffee the goyim. It's not even made kedushin to refrain. That's why you can drink coffee in a goyish coffee house. Okay, without getting into the Starbucks issues of how they wash their kalim.
Let's just mention some issues of Geder Nechal Mo Shehu Chai. What are some of the issues? Issues, what if it totally changed form? Yeah, it's edible raw, but it totally changed form. That's mutter. That's grandma, right? What if it is a mixture of Nechal and Lo Nechal? Right? Keep in mind, you're not going to have this for Olo Shulchan Malachim. You're not going to say, what if it's a mixture of Olo Shulchan Malachim, not Olo Shulchan Malachim?
No, you'll just look at the final product and see if it's fit for a king's table. Right? When it comes to, because Olo Shulchan Malachim has to do with the final product. So there's no such thing as a mixture. Whatever you make ends up being fit or not fit. But Nechal Mo Shehu Chai is nothing with the product. It has to do with the ingredients. The product, if you don't care for that. The ingredients are Nechal Mo Shehu Chai. It's by the ikker, and if the ikker is mutter, it's mutter. However, there's a caveat which we have to read before we go on, which is Gimel. Pnada Sha'afo Mikochavim Asura. Pnada is a meat pie, right? We already have this a few days. Afilo Shehu is knowing Heter Pashal Akum, even if you're knowing Heter Pashal Akum. Why? After all, what's the ikker of the Pnada? The pas or the meat?
Well, the
pas, because you say Havotzi. So why? Because they shall shuman nesu shuban. Okay, I guess this is something with shuman in the middle without a piece of meat. The shuman is nesu shuban, meaning they're separate pieces. We should be sure to go chafin. When you bake it, the bread doesn't come bishalakum, because we're knowing counter pas palter, if it's a palter baking. But the shuman does become bishalakum, because it's not mixed in with the bread. It's separate. The nivla of the pas, and then it becomes asr separately, and then it's nivla in the pas and asr the pas. Likewise, if you make chicken soup with carrots and zucchini and celery, and chicken's not nechal chai, but at the time of the chicken goes into the celery and the carrots and the zucchini and makes them usher as well. So if it's a mixture, it gets very tricky. If it is totally blended together and then cooked, then we follow the ikker. If it's totally blended together and then cooked, follow the ikker. That's it, mates. But is Gimel very important? If it is cooked separately, even together, but not blended, right? If they're cooked separately, not just mean totally separately, even together, like a meat pie or chicken soup, but not blended. You didn't puree the chicken with the vegetables. You didn't mix the ingredients into the dough of the bread. You had a meat pie with dough on the outside, pie on the inside. You had a soup with chicken over here, carrots over there. Then everything is usher, regardless of what's the ikker. Why? Because they're two separate things. The usher one becomes usher, the mutter one becomes mutter, and then the tam of the usher one goes into the mutter one and makes it usher. Because the eino nechal becomes usher, and then its tam goes into the nechal, and then they end up both usher.
Question on the last room about the ilachosh kilu shalom. What's that?
It means don't worry that they use the tree. Because a stam kli is not binyomo, so it's okay.
It's like the that that they use. Like if you are even, let's say like something in the Heights, they sell like roasted nuts. So like,
yeah, you're walking down the street. It's not only the Heights. You're walking in Midtown, right? Yeah. You're walking in Midtown in December. What are they roasting? What kind of nuts?
Chestnuts.
Really?
Wow.
Chestnuts. You never had chestnuts in Midtown?
I remember that.
No, it's geschmack. Yeah. So this guy is roasting his chestnuts on his thingy and selling them in Midtown Manhattan, or whatever the equivalent chestnuts are in the Heights. So what's the Ramah saying? The Ramah is saying that you wouldn't put these chestnuts on Shulchan Aruch. Right? No one's serving the chestnuts on Shulchan Aruch. So it's not a problem, Bishul Akum. And he says, and don't worry about they roast them on that grill. Maybe it's the same grill they use for cooking treif. Maybe, but stam is not being yomad. So it's no stam of gam, so it's mutter. The only thing you have to worry about is if you're in a country where they smear lard or fat on the thing when they roast it to make it not stick, then you have to worry. Okay, so.
Do you keep those chestnuts in the city?
So in those chestnuts in the city, I'm pretty sure that they just use canola oil for the chestnuts in the city. So it's mutter. Not since I was a kid. I don't know what they roast in the Heights.
How about their corn? They also like
their
corn.
What?
Corn also. They boil
the corn. They boil corn. I mean, they're selling like boiled stalks of corn. Okay, so you don't have to worry. Oh, maybe they cook trees in the pot. Okay, but it's not binyomo. Stam kili and the sankli is not binyomo. So you don't worry about
it. Stand is only a corn chestnut stand.
No, assuming that right now they're only doing corn. Maybe yesterday, or maybe, who knows, maybe 20 minutes ago, the guy was selling hot dogs and all of a sudden switched to corn. Okay, that's not kid love, but you don't have to worry about that. Obviously, if right now he's cooking variety things in the pot, then that's not stop. I'm talking about a stop case. You see him selling corn. Who knows what he did until now? No one knows what he did until now. But stop is love, but you don't
want to.
Yeah. You wouldn't tell them to cook it for you, but in the stands, no one's telling them to cook it. They cook it on their own. You're just buying it. Okay. A few other details that come up here, detail that comes up here is the second Gilgamesh Shah has a big discussion. When in Torah Nechal Kmo Shu Chai, do we care about whether this general species of thing is Nechal Kmo Shu Chai? Or whether this particular type of it is Nechal Kmo Shu Chai? Like, for example, what would be an example? There are, I don't know, probably like pears. Some pears are like unripe and hard and a bad season. You can't eat them raw. And then most of them you can eat raw. Sushi, right? Some fish you can eat raw, but most fish you can't eat raw. Vichuli vichuli, says the Gilgamesh Shah. Oh, he says two things. First, he says, so that's his first ha'ara. That, even if it's only eaten raw together with other things, I don't like you blend it with other things so you don't notice and trick someone into eating it. He means, no, no, no. It's like you eat it raw in a sandwich. You don't eat it raw and chop it, but you put it in a sandwich. That's the example of Zan Rochai. So what if it is eaten raw together with other foods, but not alone? That's the Gilmar Shasa is Mutter. And he brings proofs. What about what I want to start with? The idea of the species. What does he say here? I'm confused. Pirash lotus backward angle, unripe fruits. But you can't eat them raw, but you can eat the species raw. Right? Is it talking about whether the species is eaten raw or the specimen is eaten raw? Okay, so what does he say? He says he thinks it depends on the species. Therefore, the pears that are inedible are still okay. Most pears are eaten raw. Okay, and he's medayik, that's not what he says of the owner of Ram, but that's species or the specimen. It could be lakula mechomer both ways. Right? Specimen means the yachid, that particular item. So, says the Gilgamesh, shot the species. However, all the Achronim disagree. You are Shulchan here, and all the postmen disagree. This Gilgamesh, shot, they're not a patriarch, just for the patriarch, you assume. That. Yes, says the Gilgamesh Maharsha. You go by the species. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan and the other poskim, you go not by the species, but by the specimen. And we do not follow this Gilgamesh Maharsha, but pretty much all the Achronim agree with him. And therefore they say, if it's one species, and some of them are edible, and some of them aren't, the ones that are edible raw have no Isur Bishlakum. The ones that aren't edible raw have an Isur Bishlakum, which is why, when it comes to fish, probably either way, because I don't think most fish are edible raw, but regardless of whether most fish are edible raw or not, since the fish that you're eating, usually, that is cooked for you, is not edible raw, therefore, there would be an Isur Bishlakum on fish, which is why we know the Isur Bishlakum on fish, even though technically, if you eat sushi fish, which you could eat raw, there would be no Isur Bishlakum. Likewise, when it comes to fruits and vegetables, if your ones are unripe or too hard or too bitter and they're not edible raw, then they have an Isur Bishlakum, even if the good ones of that type are edible raw.
Do we go by general people or
We go by a regular person, interestingly. We go by a regular person in your time and place. After all, different countries have different ideas about these things, right? We go by your time and place. Okay, that's not in the.
My wife's grandparents, people take meat and they'll eat raw shot meat. Apparently, it was very common back in the 60s, eat fresh shot meat.
So then, if it's shot meat, even for them, would still have an Isur Bishlakum, because regular, normal people in our time and place don't do that. Right? You go by most people in your time and place. That's a good ha'ara. Okay, I don't have a mucker for that right now, but you'll have to take my word for it. Yeah.
Could you use the good marsha as a top hot belt?
Maybe. Well, just speaking of Hakel, maybe. Yeah. Something to think about. Two other issues that we're not going to deal with yet are what about Nechal Chai Al Yidei Hadchak? What if it's edible raw but with Dechak? You have to force yourself. Right? That we're not going to talk about right this minute because that's the topic of Seifim, Yud Beis, Yud Dalet, and Tesmav. And the other issue is, what if it's not edible in its natural state, but it's edible raw through some sort of preparation? Right? Like, for example, if you salt it, it's edible raw. If you soak it, it's edible raw. right? If you leave it out, you know, in a certain temperature, you know, if you leave it on your counter for 2 weeks, it's edible raw, right? So what if this is called nechal chai al yedei tikkun? This is going to be dealt with in Sif Yud Beis, and we will get to it. Right? There's a lot of things like that. You can't eat them raw the way you pick them, but if you process them, you can eat them raw. So what's the din of those things? Okay, so we'll come back to them. Let's talk a little bit Ola al Shulchan Malachim before we take it to the board. The Gemara says Ola al Shulchan Malachim. What is Shulchan Malachim? So once upon a time, there was a melech. The assumption of Shulchan Malachim is it doesn't mean anything a king would eat. You know, even kings don't always eat the Shulchan Malachim. Sometimes, you know, they're like traveling someplace and, you know, maybe they're on some sort of big adventure and they have to eat some non-standard food or something, or they have a midnight snack or something and they eat non-fancy food. So Malachim is at the king's table, like the fancy king's table, like nowadays what would they serve at the White House? Not what would Joe Biden eat for breakfast. What would they serve if they invited people to the White House? Most of us don't ever see Malachim, and not only that, we don't even usually go to the White House.
It was a big controversy with Trump because he had like fast food in the White House. He totally reversed that, like go all
the way. Right. Okay. But now Biden's in the White House, and I think he's more.
Is there a turn the ocean?
Yes. Anyway, in any case, without you know, I don't think that a lot of it depends on whether you are a. Trump is Messiah, Biden is the devil, Orthodox Jew, or a Biden is Messiah and Trump is the devil, Orthodox Jew, or any of the in-betweens. The equivalent, what? Very few. Very few. I'm barely one of them. But I'm not on tape saying which way. But nowadays the general mahalach in our community is that we say when they serve it at a chasna. Right, because that's our equivalent of shulchan malachim. Right, there are certain things you serve at a chasna, certain things you don't serve at a chasna. Like the most classic example is you don't serve Cheerios at a chasna. Right, breakfast cereal is not all shulchan malachim. Neither cold breakfast cereal, Cheerios, Trix, oatmeal squares, whatever it is nowadays, nor hot breakfast cereal. You don't serve porridge and oatmeal on the Shulchan Malachim either. Right? What else about Olal Shulchan Malachim? Snacks. Snacks are not Olal Shulchan Malachim. Could it be that the king would eat a snack sometimes? I don't know, but he definitely wouldn't serve it. Right? You never expect to get potato chips or bamba or bisli at a chasna. That would be really, really, that would be sort of like watching Trump president. candy, etc. Generally, candy and snacks are classic examples of Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. We assume cereals Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim, and there's certain low-class food that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. Sometimes it's hard to know where to draw the line, but there is certain low-class food that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. For example, the OU assumes, they got a lot of flack for this, that canned tuna fish is not Olal Shulchan Malachim. They would serve a tuna steak on Shulchan Malachim, but tuna fish is not a classic food. They wouldn't serve that on the Shulchan Malachim. So there'd be, you have to figure out exactly where to align, but a lot of low-class food they would not serve at Shulchan Malachim. I admit, it becomes very hard to know how to draw the line. One of the issues that comes up is, and this is a big Indian, someone wanted to make a big stink about this. Every 10 years, someone wants to make a big stink about it, how potato chips are all usher because of Bishul Akum, because the OU and the other kosher organizations don't require you going to light the fire in the potato chip factory. Why? Because obviously potato chips are not all usher. You don't serve potato chips in a chasna, and you know they don't serve potato chips in the White House or in Buckingham Palace. Someone's saying, no, but they serve potatoes in the White House. And the same question, like same kind of food. Like, where do you draw the line? You know, they serve potatoes in the White House. You have to know how to draw the line someplace. Obviously, you're not going to say, this particular piece has to be the exact kind they serve in Buckingham Palace. So, What if you served this general type of food in Buckingham Palace, but not this sewer of the food, right? You don't serve potato chips. You serve potatoes, right? Potatoes are Muhammad food. Where's the potatoes at Casa? And I assume they have potatoes in the White House. So, okay, there every 10 years, there's someone who wants to, you know, marish the world and say all potato chips are treif because they serve potatoes in the White House. But it's, you know, pretty clear that's not a good svara. He wants to bring a raya from Siman Kuf Yud Beis, where the Rama says, the egg smeared on the bread is all also malachim, also because of Bishul Akum. If you peeled it off the bread, you wouldn't serve it. It's just because eggs in general are all shulchan malachim. But that's silly. No, because eggs smeared on bread, you serve with the bread on the shulchan malachim. But clearly, like if you just have a little potato chip made of eggs, then that's not all shulchan malachim. Anyway, l'maisa, it's accepted halacha that you go by not the general species of food, but this particular tzura of the food. And even if potatoes are ola shulchan malachim, potato chips are not ola al shulchan, are not ola al shulchan malachim, and who had did everything else. Obviously, sometimes it's going to be tricky where to draw the line, you know, because, you know, I know a sausage is ola al shulchan malachim. So how do you know where to draw the line between a sausage and like a cheap hot dog that's not ola al shulchan malachim? You know, like something gets hard to draw the line because it's really mamish the same kind of food. You know, the just fancier ones and the less fancy ones. But certainly it's a kind of food that doesn't want shulchan malachim. It's mutter, it's mutter. However, most foods are ola al shulchan malachim, right? Pasta is ola al shulchan malachim. They serve pasta and shulchan malachim. And shulchan malachim, they'll put on a fancier plate and then garnish it with some herbs. But they still serve pasta on shulchan malachim. Most food is served on shulchan malachim. We generally assume all kinds of fish, except like tuna fish from the can, and all kinds of meat, except for like spam, which I don't think from people here anyway. That's like even worse than tuna fish in the can type of thing. And all kinds of meat, chicken, fish, pasta, side dishes, you know, kugels, etc. These are all things that are served with shulchan malachim. These are all things you would serve at a chasna. Right? So basically, any food you would serve at your Shabbos table, we for sure chokshesh that is olal shulchan malachim. The only things that we are comfortable saying are not olal shulchan malachim are snack foods, are snack foods and breakfast cereals. Those are not olal shulchan. Those are not olal shulchan malachim. Those are not olal shulchan malachim. Now, here's where it gets a little controversial. Question is, the Gemara says, kol she'ilnecho shulchan malachim l'lafes bo'es ha'pas. The lafes bo'es ha'pas, to accompany the bread. What about things that are served on shulchan malachim not to accompany the bread? So did you notice what the mechaber added? What did the mechaber add? No, that was in the Gemara. What did he add? What? Ol le parperes. So, meaning this is controversial. The Prechadosh disagrees. The Prechadosh says not true. What about, you know, can you get the board for me, please? Yeah, what's the equivalent of lafes pas? Once upon a time, they eat everything on a piece of bread. That was a different lifestyle. Nowadays, the lafes bosa pas means the main course. What about parperis? What do we call parperis? What course is the parperis? The appetizer. But how do you say an appetizer? Vorspeis. Right? Appetizer is Midrash, no? What about the appetizer? What about the appetizer? So that's called parperis. Parperis is the appetizer. Literally, it means it gives you an appetite for what comes later. Increase your appetite for what comes later. I don't think nowadays you really eat the appetizer more of an appetite for what comes later, just we like it. But that's the appetizer, the parperis. So the Brichadosh says, it only says the lafes, not parperis. But the Chaber says, no, lafes lavdavka means an important integral part of the meal, parperis also. We possibly like the Chaber. Let's ask ourselves some questions about Ola al shulchan malachim, which, by the way, depends on your time and place. Obviously, in different times and places, different things are ola al shulchan malachim. But what are some questions we have about ola al shulchan malachim? We ask this species or
particular type of dish? And the answer is particular type of dish. That's why potato chips are okay.
It's actually fascinating that someone from the OU told me once they got a lot of flack for the tuna fish, saying it wasn't Olashuk Malachim. So they sent someone to ask, like, the chef of the Kuna Denmark, whether she eats tuna fish from the can. And obviously, you eat tuna steak. That's very fancy. And he said, it's actually a specific minhag in Denmark that on hunting expeditions, you eat out of the can. He thought they meant you eat out of the can. Apparently, from admitting when you're hunting, you have to eat straight from the can. But he didn't actually answer the question of whether they take tuna fish out of the can and, like, make it into something and serve it on their steak dinners. But it's hard to imagine they would. What did we just ask ourselves? What about parparis? Says the Mechaber, Osir. However, it says the Prichadosh, Mutter. After all, not the law is supposed to pass. All the Achronim agree with the Mechaber against the Prichadosh. We assume the appetizer is also considered Ola al Shulchan Malachim. However, this is only if the lafis was a pas or a parperis. If it's not the lafis was a pas and not a parperis, let's say this is a classic example. What about canola oil? Canola is not nefemol shuchai. You can't eat raw canolas. They're mamish inedible. Right? No one you know has ever eaten a raw canola. And does canola oil go shulchan malachim? Of course it does. What do you think they use? And what do you think the chef of the malachim uses? He uses canola oil. Right, it's healthy and whatever. So does that mean canola oil is a problem with Bishlakum? And that you have to make sure that the Mashkiach lights the stove in the factory? The answer is no. Okay. The Chalukah Yamin here in Sukkot Yud Gimel quotes from all the Achronim. He says only something which itself is the thing that's malafis, the pas or the parperis, is the problem. But canola oil is just used as an ingredient in a dover of all the lafis, both a pas or parperis. If it's just a tuffel ingredient in the parperis or the malafis bosapas, that's not a problem, Bishal Akum. And that, what? Olive oil. Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you get olive oil to put on your bread. Interesting.
Yeah, that would be cooked, though.
And. I don't know. Okay, look, the OU policy is that olives are edible raw. Now, it might depend on, I'm not a buck in exactly how they make the olive oil. I don't know, we have an eye in that. I'm just looking at their policies here. Really? Oh, you know what? Maybe that was only things you make out of, like, out of pickled olives then. What about olive oil? You know what? They don't have olive oil, so I'm not sure. Yes.
The whole canola question, isn't the canola oil not thicker? Don't we just ask you to take care of the food anyway? If it feels that thicker, then why does it matter if it's made with canola
oil? No, because they cook the canola oil by itself.
Oh,
they cook it by itself. Well, when you buy canola oil, it was cooked just as canola oil. It wasn't mixed with anything else yet. They cooked in the factory.
I mean, so we're going to go by what canola oil is used for or not. Is there
so basically, canola oil is cooked alone by the going. It's not nechum mol shuchai. It's not mixed with anything that's cooked. The question is, olah shuchai malach. The answer is, even though they use it as an ingredient, that's not called olah shuchai malachim. The OU is even mekel. That soup nuts. Don't need Bishul Yisrael, or don't need Bishul Akum, because even though they're not edible raw, because the main ingredient is flour, which is not edible raw, you don't put them on you don't use them as a main course with your bread, and you don't use them as an appetizer, you just put them in the soup that's the appetizer, or you put them in the salad that's the appetizer, and therefore, that's not a parperis or a lelafis bosapas. So here is parperis. Lafis bo es hapas is clearly ulcer. That's the first one. How about an ingredient or garnish of a parperes or of a dovar hamalafes, we say that's mutter, and therefore there's a lot of things that OU does not require bishul akum for, such as canola oil, such as margarine. You know, again, margarine's not made from milk. Margarine's made often from things that are not edible raw. But the it's interesting. Why don't you put margarine on your bread? Okay, I have to ask this. Mayonnaise, that's a good example. How about mayonnaise? Say mayonnaise. You don't eat mayonnaise as a parperis or as a malafes. You just use it to, with other things, etc. Okay, like, by the way, Agav, why is pasta not a problem, bishul akum, when you buy pasta? When I buy pasta, it's, there's no issue bishul akum. Anyone know why? When I buy pasta in the supermarket,
it's your more.
It's actually not cooked at all. Pasta is raw. When you buy pasta in the supermarket, it's raw. It's not cooked at all. Of course, no problem bishul akum. It's only when you bring it home and cook it, it's an issue bishul akum. People think pasta is cooked, you just have to cook it more. It's not true. That's true of petit tip. But pasta is totally raw. So obviously, there's no Indian bishul akum.
They have certain, now in America, they have that pasta that's cooked.
Like ramen noodles.
Yeah, like ramen noodles.
Yeah, okay.
Those might be cooked a little bit.
Yeah, no, no. So there might be some, like ramen noodles are cooked already. Ramen noodles are cooked already.
Well, like, pasta noodles now, yeah. Ramen, like,
really?
So I'm not lucky.
Questions are ramen noodles. Olav shalchan lachem. Lonely, really. I don't think so.
But why isn't pasta the shalchan? It's raw.
Ah, no, you have to go home and cook it yourself. And if not, if you're going to take someone who cooks it, it's special akum.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a problem yet, but it will be a problem. Hey, no, then we'll speak a little bit. No, you, oh, I'm not a, yeah, okay, it could be that I'm just, like, reading, I'm not really a bucky and everything. I don't know, I'm not the, but they don't pasteurize them nowadays? I don't know, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Like, we assume not. Okay, let us speed a little then. Well, one more big issue. Okay, that's Siftalit. Yesh v'shamata v'shvachos shalonu. Some people are matter in our servants. That there's no problem bishul akum by servants. Yesh v'shaoser, but people be evident. Some people ask for even the evident. The Rashba quoted both these nails. And what's the brother Amah? The evidence lismach lismach adivrei hamatirin lechachila it's aser b'di'evid mutter. That's the psak of the Ramah. Vafilu chachila no milhag beistral sheshlachad avadim lashem beistral liyashus lo yechta echem beivayis ma'at. Then the Ramah adds, but nowadays, I mean in his days, even the chachila were made to let the goyim cook in your house. Why? Because it's for sure a Jew will stoke the flame. Right in the old days. They cooked on like a fire. And the minig in the old days was whoever passed by the fire would like poke the fire a little just to keep it going. It was just like a pashut thing. So he says, fine, in his days, there was no problem bishul akum in the Jewish house because the Jews were always helping with the fire. That has nothing with our days. Right? In our days, whoever turns on the oven turns on the oven. Okay, so in our days, let's go back to the first part. Lechatchila a shifcha is usher, but with the eved mutter. The question is, what's the svara to be matter by a shifcha that we're so inclined to the event? Right? What's the svara to my kibbutz? Some people are makel. And where's so inclined to the event? Says the Ramah. Shifcha, machlokas, and says the Ramah, lechatchila aser. The question is, what's the svara to be matter? After all, they're still a guy. Okay, the shach brings down your four svaras. He's very confused. Why is he confused? Because it sounds like, from the shur of the Rashba, that he's talking about not servants or households. Meant actual slaves, which the Jews did not own slaves in Poland in the days of the Ramah, but they did own slaves in Spain in the days of the Rishonim. I mean, I don't know how many of them did, but theoretically, some of them did. The rich ones did. right? So, a slave, that's different. That's someone you own. So if it's someone you own, then that's an Eved Kenani. Okay, why would an Eved Kenani not be befouled with Zera?
Because he's a Jew.
Because he is, I don't know if he's a Jew, but what the Rambam says, even if he's not a Jew, he's not... He's not a guy. Rambam says he's not a Jew, but he's not a guy. He's in between. Okay, so what's the svara? So the Shach has four svaras. Says the Shach, one of my four svaras. Number one svara is he's talking about an Eved Kenani. He's not a guy. After all, he says he has to keep Shabbos. So how can you say all the rules of Goyim apply? Of course, according to that, there's no heter nowadays because we don't have an Eved Kenani. We only have people who work for a salary. Okay, let's try the next one. What's his second pshat? His second pshat is make sure I get my order of the pshatim right. His second pshat is that it's the shita of Rabbeinu Avraham. Lo gazru the base Yisrael. This is the shita Rabbeinu Avraham. It's not something special at a shifra. It would be the same of if your friend was a guy came and cooked in your house. It's just there's no Zera in a Jewish house. The Mechaber started to say even Beis Yisrael. So if he started saying Beis Yisrael, why would he now say Yesh Misha Mater, Yesh Misha Oser? Maybe, maybe the Mechaber didn't think so, but maybe we could say it sounds like the Mechaber is two separate issues. Beis Yisrael is also. Shvachos, there's two deos. But maybe when the Rama said that the Yevi Yisrael spoke to the Rama Tira, not the Mechaber. The Mechaber probably meant slaves. That's who he was quoting from. But maybe the Rama's Tabahakos Rino Ram. Maybe they're all saying Chachil, we don't rely on Rino Ram, but the Yevi we do. Third Tabahako. Third shot, rather. Yeah. Why does he have so many shot then? Because we don't really know. Meaning, the Pasuk shot is the first one. But then the Rama didn't have slaves, so why would he have Pasuk in it? Third pshat is that really svara of the Ramah. So maybe he means an Eved Kenani, and then he doesn't mean halacha l'maaseh. That's dachuk. Maybe he means we're somech hamina wrong with the Eved. Third pshat is that really samach al masha kosav achar kach dibnei habayis chotim. He was really so mad. It's not the head of Shifcha. He was really so mad when he says the next sentence, which is that the Jews in that family always stoked the coals. That was the real head. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. Let me assume a question. Is this a good shot in the Ramah? Isn't a good shot in the Ramah to say he was only talking about a slave which didn't exist in his days? Is that a good shot in the Ramah? Well, or not? Why would it be possible to think it didn't exist in his days? Isn't a good shot in the Ramah to say he was mekel b'dyaved in a Jewish house? Could be. Right? Give it a check. Could be. Isn't a good shot in the Ramah to say he was so much of what he wrote next, which is that the Jews stoked the coals, and that's why it's mutter? Why not? Because he writes it next, but also because next he says it's motul chachil if the Jews stoke the coal. So why do we first say it's motul the Eved and then say it's motul chachil for the same reason? It's not a good shot. Okay, let's go to the fourth. What? Because that the derech l'Rama is usually to pasuk halach l'maisa for things that you say it could apply in some country, someplace. Because usually he's pasuking for things that happen in his time and place. I could be. That's actually okay. There are four. Is this the big finish? And he finds a mark with the star ban. He says it's because of kirav das. What leads to kirav das? Kirav das is when I cook for you because I want to. When I cook for you because I have to follow orders, that's not kirav das. That doesn't lead to chasmas. Right. That's what he says. His last shot. He says, "Ein eser elav osam mirtzonam mishum zeres chasnas aval shvachos avadim shosam bal karcham ein bazekirav das Ein ki rav das ella be'ose meritzono. It's only if your friend does it for you that leads to ki rav das. But if you're ordered around and you're subservient, subservience doesn't lead to ki rav das. Okay, could this be a good shot in the Ramah?
Yeah.
Could be. Okay, now let me ask you one last question. Would the heter apply to contemporary housekeepers? Okay, if the heter is because of slavery, would it apply to contemporary housekeepers? No. I mean, you don't need to hope there's a legal reality here. If the heter is because it's a Jewish house, would that apply to contemporary housekeepers?
Yeah.
If the heter is because the Jews always stoke the coals, would that apply to contemporary housekeepers? If the heter is because they're not doing it of their own free will to be nice, but because they work for us and have to follow orders, would that apply to our housekeepers?
Depends on the housekeeper.
Yeah. Depends on your relationship.
Yes. Like my housekeeper lived 15 years. Like she probably just like, you know, siblings treat her as like a second mom.
She wouldn't do it.
And she's there. No, she would come and cook for my sister. I think it depends on the housekeeper.
Okay. So.
Check X.
Now, but notice the pattern that the pshatim that wouldn't apply to Ramah housekeepers are the ones that are really bad pshatim in the Ramah anyway. The pshatim that are decent pshatim in the Ramah would apply to our housekeepers. That's like good for us. Right? If you think about it, the pshatim that are decent pshatim in the Ramah apply at least potentially to our housekeepers. What does that mean? That means that this Ramah is a decent tzad l'hakel by contemporary housekeepers. B'diavad. This is very controversial. Most of the Achronos don't like this Ramah at all. They just say there's no pshat that makes sense. He's wrong, you know, or we don't know which pshat is, so we can't rely on it. Niralim is dainty that in a shas hadchak, there's room to rely on this Ramah for contemporary housekeepers. Niralim is dainty in a shas hadchak, there's room to rely on the Ramah by contemporary housekeepers, meaning not like stam b'diavad. Stam b'diavad, if my housekeeper cooked something, I would throw it out. But what if it's a shas hadchak? Like, let's say someone's parents, the housekeeper always cooks, and the parents don't open the official makom, and they're not in a place where they want to learn now, and there'll be a big fight, or something like that. Then there's room to be makel based on this ramah, even though not all the pshatim of the shach apply to modern day housekeepers, but the ones that are the best pshatim apply to modern day housekeepers, even though the ones that are the bad pshatim don't. And therefore, I wouldn't be Mekel Stam B'diavad, but I would be Mekel B'Shas Adchak. What? No, the assumption is the housekeeper in your house, how are they going to cook anything treif if you don't have treif ingredients in your house? Okay, the assumption is that Yotzi V'Nechna, since the Jews are working in and out, they're afraid of getting caught cooking Basar Chalav. I think that's fair. Like, no housekeeper cook Basar Chalav. They know they get fired. And they know they're likely to get caught because, like, people are always walking in and out, even though it's home now. People come home all the time. So I think that's fair.
So what's the practical advice? Like, if parents aren't home to make dinner for children.
Practical advice? Practical advice. Well, l'chachila, no one thinks you can make it. What's the practical advice that parents aren't home to make dinner for the children? So there are two good halachic options, one of which is more robust than the other. The best halachic option is that the parent should cook everything beforehand and the housekeeper should just warm it up. Right? Meaning, warming up in the microwave or in the oven, etc., that's not cooking. It's already cooked, right? So if the parents cook and the housekeeper warm it up, that's the proper option. The other option could be that if you're Ashkenazi, that the parents turn on the stove and the housekeeper puts in the food, which is cool that Ashkenazi pulled from. That's another option. Or just plan your dinners to only be things that aren't olal shulchan lachem, which doesn't work for most dinners unless it's very little kids, or to plan your dinners that all dinners are only things that are nechlek mochu chai, which again is limited in terms of nutrition, but for once in a while is a fine solution. The solution to this is the solution to all halachic quandaries. If you start with the assumption that your housekeeper should cook for you, then you get into all kinds of halachic shaylos all the time. If you start with the assumption that your housekeeper should not cook for you, then you work around it, then you are fine. So the solution is when you first hire the housekeeper, you should decide that the housekeeper is not cooking for you. What if you need a housekeeper to cook for you? Because you have no time to cook, and you should hire a Jewish housekeeper.
What, pilot lights or nothing like
that? The problem is, and we will get to it, but no one has pilot lights anymore nowadays. No, it's just like, it's not like, they haven't made a, I don't know about restaurants, but they haven't made a stove for your house with a pilot light probably since like my bar mitzvah. Yeah, but okay, but it's not a thing anymore. Yeah, there's no one has pilot lights anymore.
But like, that would,
it's probably against all the safety
regulations. If someone lights a fire for like a week ago, that fire still works a week later.
Ashkenaz were making like that. Yeah, we'll see, it's controversial, but mics are working. Yeah, in the days of pilot lights, it was much easier. But nowadays, it's not shaykh. Okay, let's run through a few more halachos. Omikom shebishal lonis kamen lebishal mutter, keitzad. Omikom shehitzitz or ba'agam, kedei lahavir achotzim nishbash lochagav merilim mutar. If the guy cooked unintentionally, it's not a problem. Like, he was just trying to burn the leftover brush in a field, and he also roasted some delicious locusts, that's fine. A field marker shall allow him to look. Even if in that country the kings eat locusts. Likewise, if he took the head of a kosher animal and singed it to get rid of the hair, to burn off the hair, and it so happened that that wasn't intention at all, but when you singe it to get rid of the hair, a little piece of cartilage at the end of the hair becomes cooked enough through that small fire, you can eat that. But if he intended to cook, even though he didn't intend to cook this, he intended to cook something else, that's usher. So if he lights a fire to cook dinner, and you hid some food in there, even though he didn't intend to cook this food, since he intended to cook something, that's the official akum, and it is usher. Vav. If a Jew participated a little in the beginning or the end, that's mutter. If a guy put on the fire and then the Jew turned over the meat or stirred the pot, Jew put it in the guy finished it. Ari's a mutter. Okay, that's just a gemara. If the Jew does half, the guy does half. That's mutter. You only need some participation of a Jew. The controversial part of the Ramah, afilo hayim esbashim l'siyo chaven. Even the Jew did something, wouldn't have cooked it at all. And then the guy finished. That's okay. Let's say, for example, the Jew put it someplace where it's not hot enough to cook ever. If the Jew put it someplace where it would have cooked in 12 hours, and then the guy moved it over on the stove to someplace where it would cook in 20 minutes, that's fine. But what if the Jew put it someplace where it wouldn't have cooked at all? The Gemara says mefurish, then that's usher. The Ramah says mefurish, then that is mutter. There's a big problem. How about the stira? What if the Jew started in a way that couldn't have caused it to be cooked, meaning it can never, he put it, let's say he put it on a low flame which would never have cooked it, and the guy turned off the flame. Okay, does that count? But it would never have cooked the way that you put it. Never, not even 12 hours, not even 24 hours. So the Gemara says, Asar, the Ramah says Mutter. As you can imagine, that's a classic Kasha on the Ramah. I'm not going to go into the whole issue here, but there are three basic deos within the Ramah. Says the Gra and the Prichadash. They just said the Ramah is wrong. Okay, Darkama Kodesh. Says the Taz. He says, no, the Gemara says before Shasar, that's only in the Havamina. When you get to the Maskava, the Gemara changed their minds. Okay, that's always true. Like when it's the Gemara, sometimes you can say that was when they got Maskava. Sometimes it's before that they changed their mind. Sometimes, okay, says the Why that the Gemara changed its mind later in the sugya. Okay, you want to know how? Look at the Taz. The Shach says it's based on Tosos. Says Tosos about something else. Says Tosos on the top of Lamed Zayit, Lamed Chesamid Beis. He says The Jew needs to do something that causes cooking. Our minhag is the Jew throws one tiny twig into the fire. How does that cause cooking? Says the Tosos, because we don't rely only on the Bavli. We rely on the Sefer Chinuch Yibn Hagen. What's the Sefer Chinuch Yibn Hagen? I mentioned it. It's a very cool Sefer. You should read it one day on Shabbos or something. Chinuch Yibn Hagen, Bein Misuch, and the Rahab Marav. It summarizes all the different Minhagim between the Babylonian and Palestinian Jews in the time of Chazal, right? Like, for example, in Babel, they keep 2 days, in Eretz Yisrael, they keep 1 day. In Babel, they say 19 brachos, they just want to Esrei, in Eretz Yisrael, they say 18 brachos, just one Esrei, et cetera, all the classic differences. One of them is, in Bavel, they throw one stick into the oven to machsher the bread. And in Eretz Yisrael, they say that's stupid and it doesn't work. They actually do say, Kisam Zed Ma'am Bavel is. Okay, what do you say? He says, but we're B'nai Bavel, we're not B'nai Eretz Yisrael, right? We follow Minhagi Bavel. Tayadua, right? We say 19 brachos in Shmoneh Esrei, right? Like the minhag Bavel, right? You say 19 brachos?
Yeah.
Correct. Shmoneh Esrei, why do you say 19 brachos?
They
added Lamalshina, and in Bavel, and they added Lamalshina, and they went to 19. What did they do in Eretz Yisrael? They said, you still need 18 brachos. So what did they do in Eretz Yisrael?
They combined
Liba Shalayim and Semach Dovin into one bracha, so they could stay with 18. That's why, if you look in the article Sitter, when it has Krovitz Lepurim, the piyot that you add a piyot to every bracha of Chazar Shashat's Purim Shachris, it's in the article Sitter, it has a piyot for every bracha except for Semach Dovin. Because it was written in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have bracha of Semach Dovin as part of Liba Shalayim.
Do any extremists do
this nowadays? There's one guy named Rav Dovid Bar Chaim, Ben Chaim, which is the one in Wayu? Okay, Ben Chaim is in Wayu, so this is Bar Chaim. I just remember it's the opposite of Wayu. But David Bar Chaim has a place called Machon Shiloh. It's not in the town of Shiloh. It's just called Machon Shiloh, where he thinks that now that we're Zionism, we should go back and hug Eretz Yisrael against the Haggad Bavel. He's a minion, but they say 18 brachos in Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, okay. That's why, because I don't talk to the bracha of Baruch Hashan Abrios. But because diversity is really interesting. Kitzer, so in this it says that they bubble and throw in a stick. So says the Shach. That shows the minhag b'nei bavel is not only like it says in the Gemara. There's an additional minhag b'nei bavel. And therefore the minhag b'nei bavel is that throwing a stick is effective, which means that any symbolic participation is good, even if it's not really worth anything. So the Shach says, al pi minhag b'nei bavel is safer luke minhagim. And if you'll say, since when we pass like safer kulukim minhagim against the Shas, Tosos Lam Chesed Day says we pass like safer kulukim minhagim. No, it's only in safer kulukim minhagim. So just like throwing a stick is not in the Gemara, but we pass like it because safer kulukim minhagim. Likewise, the Jew starting in an ineffective way is not in the Gemara, but it's the equivalent of throwing in a stick. Meaning, it's the equivalent of a kisam.
It's being
98.9 to 98.92. But here also, you know what? Maybe the Jew caused it to be 1 second faster. That was one shot. We'll see. It's my focus. Okay. Let us go by your little then. To Zion. Zion is a big controversy. Big politics.
Yeah.
Says Zion. Ein shgiras. Shgiras means lighting the fire. Hatanar mo'eles elba pas. Turning on the stove only works for pasako. Avol b'sharmas bashlim for bishlakim. Ein shgiras hatanar lo lux the hmai lo morid. Putting the wood in the stove and lighting the fire doesn't help at all. Elam nachadavki. You have to actually put the food. Or you could flip or stir the food. But you have to do something to the food, not to the oven. Lefika rotz l'bashlim machtav hatanar shol l'chom. Sar shidit shol machtav hatanar l'mokar boray l'sbashlim. When it comes to Pasakum, it's a forced Gemara that lighting the oven is good enough. But when it comes to Mishal Akum, it may or may not be forced Gemara. The Gemara says a Jew puts it in, and the Gemara says a Jew is Mahapich. That might mean you turn over the sticks of wood, which is lighting the fire, but it might mean you're Mahapich. Most of you shouldn't think it means you're Mahapich, you flip the meat. So, basically, this is the fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. Does lighting the fire count only for Pas? It's before that it counts for pas. It says, Shagar Yisrael v'afa ovei kochavim. right? Or even chata b'chitui, he stoked the coals. But thia, that's good enough for pas. It doesn't say it, but of course by tapsh. So is there a different tapsh and pas or not? So this is a tremendous machlokas rishonin. Basically, many Sephardi rishonin. I would say most Sephardi rishonin say that it doesn't help. And most Ashkenazic Rishonim say that it does. So that's why the Mechaber says, and Itaka, if you have a Sephardi Mahadran Ashkocha, really it should be any Sephardi Ashkocha, then the Jew has to put every dish into the oven. It's not enough to turn on this the stove in the morning like the Ashkenazic Mashkiach. The Mashkiach, or the Jew, has to put every dish into the oven. So I told you my son works on Hanukkah, putting all the Sephardiyot into the oven. Because otherwise it's a problem of Bishol Akum according to the Mechaber.
How does that work with the Ashkenazic?
We'll get to it. Okay. As there at Rambah, the Yesh Kolkin was really that luck as the Yesh Ochito b'gachol mahani then Bishol k'mol then you pass. V'chein, no again. Ah, but meaning Ashkenaz is that lighting the fire or stoking the coals, which is raising the fire, works for Bishol just like it does for pass. And that's Minig Ashkenaz. That's the fundamental machlok between Minig Sfar and Minig Ashkenaz. And Minig Sfar, the Mashkiach or Jew, has to put every dish into the oven. And Minig Ashkenaz, he just has to turn on the stove or oven or appliance once in the beginning of the day. Okay, sometimes it's complicated nowadays. They have all kinds of fancy equipment, which maybe turn on off all the time. Induction stoves, that doesn't help. Because you can't turn them on until you don't get turned on by putting food on them. But at least with the traditional stove or oven, if the mashgiach turns on in the morning, then we assume that is good enough for minig ashkenaz. What's the svar? The svar for minig ashkenaz is pretty obvious. The Gemara says, by pas, tavshel, same rules. Why differentiate? What's the svar for minig svar? Binyamin, can you get the board, please? What's the svar to be mashgiach for minig svar? That it only works for pas. Why would it work for pas and not
participation? Why be Mechali?
So that's one possibility. So there are two main shatim explaining the svara of the Mechali. Right? How about Hadlaka or Hitu? For a pass, it's definitely Mahani. For Tavshil, that's a machlokes. What's the svara for the Mechaber and Mechalik? Svara Sarama is Pashut. Why be Mechalik? What's the svara of the Mechabers? There are two main svaras. One is the Ran. Says the Ran, he says, lighting the fire is a bigger deal for baking bread than for cooking. Why? Why is it a bigger deal? Because when you light a fire for cooking, what do? You throw in some wood, throw in a match, and you put a pot down. In the old days, they wanted to bake bread. What did they have to do? How did they make bread?
Light coals.
What? Where did they put the bread? They stuck it in the walls of the oven. So you had to light it in the right place and make room on the walls of the oven so there'd be heat but still room for your bread. Even when your bread touched the coals, then you get burnt. So it was a bigger malacha. There's no pot to protect it. There's a bigger malacha to do light the fire for baking than for cooking. That's the Ran says. The Ran says a technical difference. That it's a bigger deal to make a fire for baking than for cooking. The Rambam says a fundamental difference. He says that by Bishul, you actually need a Jew to cook. By Pas, all you need is a Heker that we don't eat with the that we don't mingle with the goyim, and therefore by pas a heker is good enough, But by time show, you need a Jew to cook. By pass, you just need a hecker. Why is that? So it's not clear. It could be because on the left we have Adam, they made a much more light zero by pass. It could also be there's a smaller shash of intermarriage by pass. By pass, a small shash of intermarriage is enough to have a reminder by tops of the big shash of intermarriage. So you need mom's Jewish cooking. In any case, that's the sort of the Mechaber. However, we paskin like the Ramah. We paskin like the Ramah. The Shach quotes in the Isra Beheter. That, let's see how we Ashkenazim paskin. And then we'll see a Sephardim paskin. First of all, let's see how Ashkenazim paskin. Hadlaka is mutter. We paskin hadlaka is mutter. If the Jew likes the fire, that's mutter. That's what they do in most restaurants nowadays, where they have goyish cooks. What if a Jew is chotev gecholim, stokes the coals? So here, the Shach quotes we've gotten test from the Isra Heter, you have to make sure that it will actually quicken up the says the Shach quoting the Isra Heter, quoting the Ramban, you have to make sure that it makes it cook faster. Says the Ramban, Isser Beheter, Shach, Rach, and Mekare Bishulo, only if it makes it cook faster. However, says the Ran, when he's trying to explain this day, he says, I don't know. It's always Mekare Bishulo. He points out, it's always Mekare Bishulo. You have to make sure it's Mekare Bishulo. By definition, raising the heat makes it cook quicker, even if only by a minute. And says Tosfos, LP, safer. Okay, and hug him. Af LP, sh'eino Mekare Bishulo, it's mutter. Because all you need is a symbolic act, like throwing in one stick. Okay, how about Lemaisa? There's some debate. Lemaisa, we assume turning off the flame, either a bunch of tosos, symbolic participation, or according to the Ron, always makes it cook quicker. That's a good spark. If you turn off the heat, it should always make it cook quicker. Seems like a reasonable spark. And we can be made to. What's more controversial? Let's continue. Remember we said if the guy cooks without kavana, it's not a problem, bishalakum? Said the Ramah. But if the Jew stokes the coals without kavana, that does save it from being bishalakum. It's not a mirror image. If the guy cooks without kavana, it's not a problem. If the Jew cooks without kavana, it is the solution. So even if the Jew didn't know there's anything cooking there, didn't see anything cooking, and just was cold, so he stoked the fire a little to warm up, that's good enough. This is controversial. The Shach and the Taz quotes from the Isra Heter, the Shach Sivkot Yud and the Taz Sivkot Ches quotes from the Isra Heter, who is Machmer on this. Doesn't come up so much, but Lemaisa, the Chalkas Binyamin says that B'dyavid Yifni Meiko. So what about Chivtoi Li Kavana Special? The Ramah says mutter, the Isser Beheter, the Shach, and the Taz say usser. The Maisa is certainly not l'chachila, but the Yemen, you can be something on it.
After reading the claim, let's say Mashgiach comes and rises and the guy turns on the fire, then he raises it a little bit. But the guy, then an hour later, puts it back down to what was before. Is that going to work for the rest of the day? I mean, it's going to work.
That's interesting. It definitely works for what's on the stove then, but is that going to work for the rest of the day?
If they turn out during the actual thing, that's still symbolic.
Right. B'dyavad, we would still assume that since it created more residual heat in the oven, right, like with some computer days, that would work, but I don't think it works with Hakila. I think with Hakila, we need something that actually has an effect.
B'dyavad
works for the rest of the day, but I don't think with Hakila. Like in Kofiyot Beis, if
good. Even though you put different pots on there, I mean, in that case, it was the oven that you're keeping that same oven. Here, like, that stove is not seeing a whole different dish.
Yes, but it does add some heat that sticks in the stove. So I think that the oven would be something on that. Okay, let's just read one more thing. Of course, here he adds that, as the Shach points out, right? How about Hashlochas Kisa? Adding in one little stick. So, this is controversial. The Ramah says it works. This is very controversial. The Shach doesn't like it. The Orch HaShulchan doesn't like it. Tosos and the Ramah say that that works, right? Either because maybe it makes it a little quicker, or because it's just symbolic. The Rosh thinks it doesn't, even though he's Ashkenazim, and the Ramban thinks it doesn't, even though he's Matur some of these other things. Let's say the Rosh, even though he's Ashkenazim, says Usser, and there are many Achronim who don't like this. Who don't like this either, but the Shach seems to be Mekel, right? And the Minig is to be Mekel. Says the Shach, Mekel, the Minig is to be Somech on it. Certainly it's not the best, it's not the most ideal, but the Minig is to be Somech on it. The last thing is pilot light. Raksha, we call him Hidlik Ha'ish Me'esh Shal Yisrael Shari. How about a pilot light? Goy may H Shal Yisrael. Right? Meaning you gave him a light. Right? In the old days, right? Like you're holding a lighter and you give him a light and then he lights the stove with it. That's all my thing. At least have a pilot light, right? Could you lit the pilot light? And then the pilot light is like in the old ovens before they had an igniter, an electric igniter. How do they light the stove or the oven? They would have a little flame always burning, and then the stove would automatically light from that flame. The tiny flame always burning. For Jewlet, the tiny flame, and for 10 years, that was Havlaka Me'esh Shal Yisrael. That is very controversial. The Ramban says, that's better than everything else, because now the Jew is responsible for the whole fire. That's better than Chitoy and Kisam, etc. Says the Ramban. The Ramban says, Mutter. However, a lot of Achronim argue. The Gra says, Usser, for example. Interesting. Conceptually, says the Ramban, Adif. It's better than stoking the coals. What do you mean? You made the whole fire. The whole fire came from you. You were the source of everything. There'd be no fire without you. Says the Ran, no, it's much worse. Why? The Ramban says, you lit this pilot like 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. That's the worst thing. That's much worse than stoking the coals, because it had nothing to do with this cooking. It was years ago. While the Ramban says, no, other, it's better. It's the whole thing, not just reading it alone. Okay, it's very controversial whether this is the best participation of the Jew, because without it, there'd be nothing, or the worst participation of the Jew. Because it happened a long time ago, and was not in Sur, if there's a lack of connection. Halacha l'maisa, the Taz says, we're only making in the Jew's house, the Tzera for Rino Avraham. It's a big machlokas, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't like it. A lot of folks can question it, but the Minig Olam is to be Mekel. The Minig Olam is to be Mekel, even though it's controversial. L'maisa.
Only has to do
the Minig is to be Mekel. The Minig is to be Mekel. No, even a Goyish factory. Like even the Oyuna Goyish factory, the Minig is to be Mekel. The Minig is Lahakel, even though it's very controversial in the Achronim. The Minig is Lahakel, the pilot lights, you don't have pilot lights, so it's very controversial. I won't be in the course Achlokes between all the Mandi Hashems, these star case, convinced that the best solution, the Oyu submits its Hazar trait, is what they do in some factories for Bishal Akum, if they don't have a pilot light, is they take like a light bulb, not a regular light bulb, like one that produces a lot of heat, like one of those red ones. And they have a technician installed in the oven, have a Jew screw it in, and make sure like it lasts for 10 years. They replace it every 9 years on the safe side, whatever, or one. And that always adds heat in the oven. Stays on forever. Right? And they wire it so that it doesn't turn off the switch. It stays on forever.
Who
So the Jews, it's like a kisam. It's like one extra stick that the Jews was always throwing in the oven. Why is this controversial? Because it's based on the heter hashlachas kisam, but you're doing it years in advance. Right? So even though we're makel by the pilot light, even though it was in advance. The medics make them a pilot light even though it's in advance. The medics make them by a kisam even though it's just one little additional heat. The question is, can you combine both? Can you in advance, can you 3 years in advance add a little additional heat? Or no, we're makel in advance to cause the whole to all the heat. Or at the shaito to add a little. This is controversial. What if you combine both of them? What about the combination? Right, the Jew installs a small bowl in the oven. This is a big machlokes. The OU answers it, the Star came answers it. That's a big controversy nowadays between the different hashkachas. Halacha l'maisa, I think that since Mishlachim is Rabbanan, you don't have to investigate every food that has a hashgacha to see if they rely on this kula or not. Of course, nowadays, with modern technology, it's a lot easier to have Bishul Yisrael because the Jew could just, log on the internet and turn on the stove, no matter where the factory is, no matter where the Jew is, right? You can do everything remotely. Nowadays, you can do everything remotely. If you want Bishul Yisrael, it's a lot easier. You don't need any of these kulas. Meaning, the Jew's not going to put the food in the oven. Say, assuming that for Ashkenaz, hadlaka is good enough. The Jew can always do the hadlaka. Why? The Mashgiach just logs in every morning, turns off the oven, and turns it back on again over the internet. Right? Not a big deal. Even before the internet, they started doing this with press the certain code on the touchtone phone. But nowadays, what they do to solve a lot of these problems is if there's a faraway factory, the Mashgiach can't go every day, and there's no pilot light. Then he just remotely turns on and off the oven, and that helps a lot nowadays. Okay, so this, what about Sfardim? The normal halacha is that it's aser unless the Jew put the food in the oven. Technically, the Jew could also flip or stir the food. They have to do something to the food, not to the fire, right? The food. It's not enough to flip the coals. However, Rav Avadia, guess what technique Rav Avadia will use to find a kula here?
Sveik,
correct. He finds a... He finds a sveika. says Rav Avadia. He has different things, but what does he say here? Class, remember, what's the chiddush? You can use a sveik sveika even if both of them are chita, even if both of them are against the, and even if both of them are against the maran hamachaber. And what does he say here? He says there is what to be somechan. To go to places where they use the Ashkenazi kula, doesn't like it, because of a sveik sveika. Maybe the Ramah is right that a mashgiach turning on the oven is good enough. And even if the Ramah is wrong, maybe since it's a Jewish hotel or restaurant, Rabbi Avraham is right. So, but, says Rabbi Avadia, you can rely on sveik sveika of the Ramah and Rabbeinu Avraham. You can rely on the sveik sveika of the Ramah and Rabbeinu Avraham. That it's mutter, that, it basically says as far as you can go to an Ashkenazi restaurant and eat, the real shtarklets don't, but if they're stuck, they do. Or go to an Ashkenazi house with the housekeeper and eat. Or go to an Ashkenazi hotel, because maybe the Ramah is right, and even the Ramah is wrong, maybe Rabbeinu Avraham is right.
I just imagine like most restaurants like in America have not like had the shlachim for the start. So
basically, the very stark Spartan only go to a certain limited Spartan restaurants, and the regular Spartan rely on a rabbi.
I think in America, there's a policy that the Spartan asks the manager is allowed to go to the back.
Right, the real stark Spartan will ask to put their food in themselves.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants allow that. I don't know like which kosher agencies require it, which don't. Hopefully. Okay, let's run through some things. Ches nasr shol kedira al eish v'silka bo'uchem bechzira aser elam kani gil machol ben yisleish yisleish b'shul k'sasilka. If a Jew put it on the stove and removed it, this is in the first in Gemara, and the guy comes back and puts it back on the stove, if it was ready machol ben yisleish cooked by a Jew, but if the Jew put it on the stove and removed it before Machal Ben Yerushalayim, it's still halachically wrong. The guy puts it on. Now the guy's doing what we're cooking. And it is usher. Okay, here the Shach and the Taz are a little more mako. They say if a Jew took it off, that's kismir, it's usher. But if a guy took it off and put it back on, then they're more mako. Either because the guy took it off and put it back on, just ignore what the guy did and give the Jew credit. Or because Ashkenazim rely on any symbolic participation of the Jew, and that's good enough. Test. In Bishlo Kham Gmach Mandersoy Gomer Yisrael, if a guy cooked the Gmach Mandersoy and a Jew finished it, Yesh Lesser, Elam Kinu, Erb Shabs, Erb Yantif, or Shish Hefzer, Ruba, Bid Dover. Interesting question. What if the guy cooked the Gmach Mandersoy? Remember, by Pasta or Mako, that doesn't prove anything. What if the guy cooked the Gmach Mandersoy and then the Jew finished cooking it? Do we say, since Gmach Mandersoy is cooked, it was already called a special apple? Right? Think about it. Let's say the guy cooked the Gmach Mandersoy and then stopped. It would be treated as a special apple. So, can the Jew still undo that? The Machaber says, we're Machaber, the Jew can't undo it. We're only Makel in Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif or Hefzer Meruba by a big Shas Had Chak. However, the Ramah says, V'yish Matur B'chol Inyan V'chinogin, that we're Matur. If the Jew participates even towards the end of the process, that's good enough. Until the Bush called Sarko. And even though the Pesach Chuba quotes in the Shlach, who said that Ashkenazim should be Machaber like the Marshal, but all the other Achronim say against that, that we are Makel like the Shach. So basically, what if the guy cooked the first half and the Jew cooked a little before it was Mavushal called Sarko, the Mechaber Mutter Rak Vishas HaKak. The Ramah says Mutter Legamre, the Marshal, and the Shlach in the Pesach Tshuva go with Machaber, the Shach, and the Poskim go with the Ramah. So certainly for us Ashkenazim, we say that's okay. Meaning, if you messed up and a guy started cooking, as long as only 99% cooked, you can save it by having a Jew take it off and put it back on, or turn off this oven and turn it back on. Yod Hinich Shal Gabi Kol Omo Shlo Yoray L'Sbashal Yen Kamachem and Yishlo Yivo Kham Bahatmu and Esbashal Aser. Yud is exactly the same as the Ramah at the end of Vav. A Jew put it on low flame, right, dying coals that couldn't have cooked it, and then the guy stoked the coals and made it cook. So the Jew did something ineffective, that was what I just erased, and then the guy made it effective. Machaber says Aser, but the Ramah paskins that it is Mutter. Yud Aleph, Hinech Shol Gabi Eish V'Nechol Kham L'Shamru. You left on the fire and left the guy watching it. When the guy flipped it, basically, you're masopet. Maybe the guy took it off the fire and put it back before his machab and yursai, which is usher, according to the Mechaber in Siv Ches. You're masopet if the guy messed it up or not. The answer is mutter to suffik your lukulik's bishlakim's rabbanon. Likewise, any suffik bishlakim's rabbanon. What do I mean by any suffik? The only important thing here is the Taz, Sivkat, and Yud Aleph, not only a suffik if the guy messed it up. Even if it's a suffik if the Jew saved it. You know a guy cooked. It's a suffik if the Jew stoked the coals. You know the guy cooked. Suffik if the Jew came in and turned up the flame. By the way, what should the Jew do? Let's say you need the same flame. He shouldn't turn off the flame, then the guy will turn it down. That'll be Yonatz Kasha. He should turn down the flame and turn it back up, and then leave it that way all day. Right? Anyway, what if you're a suffik if the Jew saved it or not? Then it's mutter to suffik your bundle. Okay, Yud Beis is very, very Nagel Maisa. Remember I said there were two things in Yud Beis? One is, what about something that's edible raw al yidei processing? Dagim ketanim, small fish, and molchan yisrael, that a Jew salted, or a guy salted. Harein kemoshin is bashlo mitzas bishol. It's as if they're partially cooked kamachal ben rusai. They're edible now. The imtslan of kamacharkach ben goy then cooked it. It's mutter. I will dog a little from gadola. Okay. What is he saying here? Small fish, you can eat them. You can't eat them raw. You can eat them salted.
What's the din?
The din is if, right, dogim katanim. Raw, you can't eat them. Salted, you can't eat. So what's the din? If, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say because you can eat them salted, it's considered nachal kmo chuchai, and a guy's allowed to cook them. No, if a guy cooks them unsalted, it's treif. If a guy cooked them unsalted, aser. But you know what's mutter? Two things are mutter. If a guy salts them, it's mutter to eat right then. Because salting, not cooking, didn't cook. And if a guy cooks salted fish, cooks them salted, when they're already salted, it's also mutter. And even if a guy salted it and then cooked it, it's mutter. Basically, if a guy cooked it, it's usser. Because when he started cooking it, it was inedible. But if he salted it and then cooked it, it's mutter. Because salting is not cooking, so it doesn't make it usser. And now that he salted it, it's edible. And now that he cooked it, he cooked an edible thing. Right? Even if the guy salts and cooks, it's mutter. So notice, just don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean the guy can cook it without salting. If the guy cooks it stam, it's treif. But if the guy salts it and cooks it, or a Jew salts it and the guy cooks it, or a guy cooks it, salts it and the Jew cooks it, then it's mutter. Basically, it depends. The moment you started cooking it, was it edible or not? If you started cooking it was edible because of salting, then it's nechel chai. If you started cooking it was inedible, it's not nechel chai. Okay, that's the principle of something that needs tikkun. Let's continue your days. What about big salted fish? Then they're only nechel chai of dead chak, right? What if something is edible? You know, like raw eggs. You ever eat? Can you eat raw eggs? I mean, like a little, but not really, right? There are certain things you can eat raw dead chak. So what about things you can eat raw dead chak? Like those are like salted big fish. Two days. Mandamer usher, mandamer mutter. Which way do you think the Machaber is passing? Why? Enough to say better. Which way do you think the Machaber is passing? Stam yishomer. The stam is usher. And look at the Ramah. The king called Dover Shenechel Chayav Liyad Chak Ubishlo Kacham Dino Kedogim Dolim. Anything edible Chayav Liyad Chak. And a guy cooked it is like these Dogim Gedolim. Vosher Maloch Einu Nechel Chakon Shukhaiva Usher Mizbachel Liyad Chakon. But meat, even if it's salted, is not edible at all raw, and is for sure usher. The Ramah is not so clear which way he postulates. He doesn't say. He just says anything edible in chak is like these dogim gedolim, and meat is not like them. But the achronim, such as the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chacham Sadr, and everyone else, paskin the chumra. Nechal yedei chak, we paskin as usher. Halacha l'maisa, we usher. Like the Mechaber Stam, like the Brichodesh, the Aruch HaShulchan, and all the achronim, paskin that it's usher. Therefore, like only something's really edible. Okay, Yud Gimel. Let's just skip to Yud Dalet. Then Yud Dalet. Beitza, afi shuri lego machayim bishlo chum baser. Egg, even though you could drink it raw, if a guy cooked it, it's usher. Why? Why do you think he means? If he's because I'm dead. Correct. Tesvav tamarim hamarim ptsas semi-bitter dates she'ein nechom dead chak. You're only edible dead chak and bishlo chum masurim. Okay, Yudal and Tesvav seem to support the thesis that the Machaber's main psak is that it's usher. Since the Ramah doesn't argue, then he would also agree that it's usher. And that's what all the Echronim say. The Taz does say, if you want, you could say that the eggs and the dates are the chak gov, but still, we're not sure how we pass them by the chak kot. Well, the simple pshat is that this is all your day of chak, and we are machmir that the day of chak is usher, and that's taka how we pass it. Let's go back to Yud Gimel, just two last halachas, which are very important. Yud Gimel. What about, this is implicit in something you said, what if a guy does a process that's not cooking, but is chemically equivalent to cooking? Right, like kavash. Is that a problem, Bishal Akam, or not? Dog shemalcho of kavash, a guy salts, uperish ishnan, or he smokes, ad shechshir lachila, he only made them edible, the piece of fruit is edible, or it's produce. Svarin, the Malia thing for Tap and Tir Suba, Mushin and Gushal. Yeah, Malicha, this is Safak Mishalmi, we pass the Kula to the Rabbanim. Malicha doesn't count as cooking, and it's smoking as cooking. Gam Kavash Noach Marlo, Enukum Gushal, Blasso Bishal Ish. They only assert cooking of Ish and not any other kind of cooking. Halachal Maisa. Halachal Maisa. If a guy cooks something in a non-cooking way, kavush maliat even isha, which is hot, but it's hot smoke, not hot fire, like smoke blocks. That's okay. That is okay. Not like smoked, like when you go to smokehouse, because that's cooked and they add smoke to flavor. They mean things that are not near a fire, they're just near the smoke. What's the big machlokas? The big, there are two things that are very controversial. One is, how about steam? A steam retort. In most factories, the way they cook is with steam. What does that mean? They have a big boiler where they have a tremendous fire that turns over into steam. The steam goes through the pipes and then cooks all the things in the factory. Well, any canned goods in the factory are cooked with steam. Is steam like smoke or is it like fire? That's a big machlokas, right? How about steam goods? Rav Avadya says anything in the factories. It's a good thing he has a kula because he holds that mashgiach turning on the stove is not enough. He says, no, around the factory, they don't use steam. Steam is like smoke, and it's not considered a fire. Halacha l'maisa, most posts can disagree with him. They say the smoke is different, but steam is just water. When you put things in water and the water is on a fire, that's normal cooking. However, the OU is makel for a different reason because they have two stuff in the hakel. Because there's a famous kula Reb Moshe. What's Reb Moshe's famous kula? Reb Moshe's famous kula. We had a big controversy with this fight between me and Reb Belsky versus Binyamin and whoever's on his side yesterday. Reb Moshe has his famous kula. Says Reb Moshe, I should tell you, by the way, can you get the board, please? There's a sheet of all the maritats. This sheet is very not mainstream. Maritats, Maharit, Salom, Reb Yom Salom. He says there's a heter of palter by Bishalach. And therefore, anything in the factory is okay. Okay, we don't pass it that way. No one passes that way. Ravadia doesn't even call it a space fake. He mentioned it, but he doesn't call it a space fake. Okay. However, since Moshe Feinstein, logically it makes sense. Why should it be usher to eat food cooked in a factory? It's not going to lead to intermarriage. I understand, I eat something cooked in a goyish factory. I make a shidduch for my son with the daughter of the worker in the goyish factory. He's 3,000 miles away. I don't know his name. I'm never going to encounter him. Says Ramosha, why should there be Nusser factory? Says Ramosha, the Isser is only low plug. Okay, low plug. That's a Zerzor about to work. Says Ramosha Feinstein in Pia Shmua. It's written in the River of Zephaim and all the Talmudim to bring down Pia Shmua, a tremendous kula. Since factories should be mutter, they're only low plugs of homes. Therefore, he says, they were only gozer on factories if they cook in a way similar to how you cook in a home. Just bigger, more at a time. But if they cook with a different kind of cooking device that you don't have in homes, then they weren't gozer because you don't need a low plug. Because really, it should be mutter. It's only because it's like a home and low plug. But he says, big steam machines, steam retorts, whatever they call them, no one has them at home. It's like it's a shayach within your house. Only shayach factories that are inside the whole block. Therefore, he says there's no gzera because it's not similar to a home, so there's no low plug. So the OU is makel on any, basically all canned goods. The OU is makel that you don't officially sell because they have two studded lahakel. The Rebelsky says he only likes to rely on these for motion with another type of lahakel, even though most companies rely on this alone. He says, number one, Rav Avadya says steam is like smoke and it's not considered an ish. And number two, Rav Moshe says, since it's not similar to a home, there's no low plug, and it is mutter. So, basically, factories that cook with steam, what are the two stuff in the hakel? One, Rav Avadya says, it's like ishun, like smoking. And two, Rav Moshe, who says there's no low plug because it's not similar to how you cook it in a home. And therefore, we rely on this, and anything that's cooked with a big steam machine that cooks cans in a factory is much easier with these two subtle lahakot for summertime. Even lechatchila. The other big controversy is, what about a microwave? What if a guy cooks in a microwave? It's not so common, because usually you only warm up leftovers in a microwave, and they're already cooked, hopefully by a Jew.
Right.
So they're already cooked by a Jew, it's too late. Cooks are over there, cooked by a Jew, then it's mutter. But what if sometimes you cook things in a microwave? Like, you can cook eggs in a microwave. What if you cook things,
rice,
Allah shalom lachem, not edible raw, right? Kings serve rice, and you can't eat raw rice. It's hard as a rock. So, what if the guy makes rice in the microwave? So this is a big machlokas. Rav Moshe holds in the ears. Moshe, the microwave counts like a fire, halachically. The chazan, the pishmur, the chazan ish, and Rishon Mazalman, based on the chazan ish, say it doesn't count. Lemaisa, I think we should be makel, since Bishlak was Durabanan, to assume that microwave doesn't count, and I think we can be makel. Let's just end very briefly with Tessayim. It's a big wondus. Kalim Shabishal and Mahom come from name Dvarm Shesh, Mishum Shulam, Kham Srikham Hatcher. Ah, what if a guy cooked Bishal Akim Din to kasher the Kalim? The Machlok is Rashba and Rashba. The Rashba says you need to kasher them. The Yeshom Rashi and Srikham. The Rashba says you don't need to kasher them. What's the Machlok is that Mamasha Hefta Shalisra now? The Rashba says it's Mamasha Hefta Shalisra. Therefore, it trains up the Kalim. Basically, the guy cooks, even if you don't eat it, you have to kasher your pot. Or if the guy cooks for herself in your house, your housekeeper cooks for herself, she can eat it, but you have to kasher your pots now. The Rosh says, no, it's not a chetzer shel iser. It's just usher because it leads to closeness. Since the tam in the pot doesn't lead to closeness, that's not part of the xera. The Rosh says it becomes an objective chetzer shel iser. The Rosh says it doesn't. The after the Ritzukim Hechrim, Kli Cheres, Magilo, Shel, Shpam, Daim, Deisha, Ein, Lish, Deh, Eker, Bidaraisa. However, this is the Mefush Rosham. Any iser drabbanan that's not very similar to something that's found in the Torah, even if you need the kasher, you can kasher Kli Cheres by a triple hagala. Shalom says if you do three hagalas, you can kasher from things that are pure drabbanans. Bishlach is pure drabbanan. You can even kasher with kicharis. How do we paskin about this? This is a big machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah, the Orach HaShulchan, and most poskim paskin like the Rashba, like the first day. Stam b'yishomer, like the Stam. The Rav had himself from his father. He loved this like the second day, because his father understood it was not a chetzer shel iser. Halacha lemaisa. You know, if you're not a Talmudic of the Rav, basically every other Achron Paskin is the Homer like the first day, Stam Yishomer like the Stam, says you have to kasher the Kalim. Nirlani is dainty that if it was a housekeeper in a Jewish house and you can combine the Sif Dalit at the Shvachos, then even Shalom B'Shas HaChak, you can make it on the Kalim, but Seiruf, the Shvachos, and the Rush here, which is the Rav and the servant of his father, which is possible like. So that's the furthest. I'll go. I'll tell you, even if it's not a Shasakak, you can go on the table. Because you have a Tzirah for the Rush and the two out of the four answers in the Shach that made a heter for a housekeeper. Agav, there's one issue which comes up on the Shach here, which we don't have time to get into. Remember we said that earlier in Sif Gimel says that no, it's about Shishim, it's more serious than Chetzer Shel. You think it, you know, might be totally on the same thing. The Shach doesn't. Anyway, the Shach says Batal B'Rov. The Gra says it is Batal B'Shishim. That's more Chomer than Pas, because we've seen many ways. What if you have a Chole who needs food on Shabbos? And you have to ask the Goy to cook for the Jew can't. Shabbos, yeah. There's the guy to cook first. The guy cooks for a chola on Shabbos. What's the problem? It's bishalakum. So a chola can still eat it because he is a heter of chola. What about a matzah Shabbos? Can the chola still eat it when he doesn't eat it anymore? Or can I eat it a matzah Shabbos who's healthy? So the Ramah has a big chula here. Says the Ramah, the word goes to bishalakum when you use a guy because of Shabbos. They weren't goes to bishalakum because this is a heter. You see that it's a special case, not going to lead to intermarriage. It's only because of Hilchos Shabbos. When you have to use a goy to Hilchos Shabbos, there's no zero bishul akum. It's a unique. Do we pass like this Rambam? The Penn State Chibukos of Hafiz Adam says we don't rely on this Rambam. He says only after 24 hours you can make it on the cable. But we don't rely on this Rambam. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Mishnah Yochas and the Gran Mishnah Berurah passes like Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah passes Korbi only and says that there weren't good. There's no Gzeira of Bishlakim in this case. Basically, I think, all the halachos. Some of the svaras we can get a little deeper into, but now is not the time because it's already late. And I wish everyone a tremendous hatzlacha in continuing to learn Yoredeya, as well as Orchaim, Kosh Mishpat, and Eben Ha'ezer in the upcoming years.
Thank you, Rabbi Nish.